Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Yes, Christ the Lord is risen today. We open with something a little bit differently in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Great to have you with us on the program today. Let's kick things off with prayer. We'll pray St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Glad to have you with us today. We have on the program today coming up Father Jeffrey Kirby. He was with us on Thursday talking about the Easter Triduum. Today he's going to talk about the resurrection of the Lord and why it's so important. You know, a lot of times we forget just how important the resurrection is. We're through Lent now. We celebrated Easter yesterday, and we just don't want to go back to business as usual. This is really important for us to understand what it means that the Lord has risen, or why it's important that the Lord has risen. Also on the program, Chris Stepien will join us again. He's a regular guest on the show, and he'll be discussing his book, Dying to Be Happy. We'll also have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, plus our usual assortment of music. As we do each day, we have Mr. Dave Parker with us.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Dave. Frank Eliason is here as well.
Happy Easter to you both.
Boys, it's a big day.
Yes, it is.
How was your Easter, Dave?
It was fabulous. Busy at St. Francis Cabrini. Very uplifting and enriching. And, it's almost beyond description, but it was uplifting.
Yes, Frank, yours?
It was a very special day. I think any time you have the chance to be around family, there's certain people and certain people that inspire you. So there's a priest that inspires us very much, Monsignor Ritchie. And we went to a different mass than we normally would. Mm-hmm. And to walk in, and there's Monsignor Ritchie.
Oh, wow.
It just feels right. And yeah. Normally we would see him at a later mass. It was quite interesting that he would be there at that time. So very special opportunity. But Dave, you were reading this past
I read at the Vigil Mass on Saturday. And at Cabrini, St. Francis Cabrini in Fairless Hills, to make it easy for everything in Holy Week, they said everything is at 7:30.
Oh, okay.
So 7:30 on Saturday night, was the beautiful procession in and all that. And, can I say something real quickly? Yesterday at Mass, someone came up to me. He was a longtime parishioner, and he said, because St. Joseph the Worker Parish merged with St. Francis Cabrini Parish over the last 2.5 years, and it was kind of difficult, but he came up to me. He was so thrilled. He said, this is what church used to be. Mm-hmm. Many people coming in, and I had the same feeling, and we were talking after Mass, and wow, how uplifting, how wholesome, and now let's continue throughout throughout the year.
I think it becomes a question, though, how do we get these individuals to want to come to church
exactly
regularly? It's great to see them there.
Yes.
I think, we should celebrate them being there on that day, mm-hmm. but it's how do we inspire them to want to be there mm-hmm. all the time?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Gary, how was yours?
Mine was great. Great time. Great time with family. Great time at Mass. This is a great celebration.
Absolutely.
I want to say one thing, by the way. That show we did on Friday, Frank, you masterminded it. You put it together, that special broadcast of Spirit mm-hmm. in the Morning. Dave Parker, your Stations of the Cross were unbelievable. Thank you for your gift. It really turned out well.
I have to give all credit where credit is due to the Holy Spirit for the inspiration. And let's Mary Carmelo.
Yes, Mary did a great job.
Who did Mary's part. Thank you for letting us do that.
Very, yes. Very special.
Thanks for the accolades.
Definitely great job. Now, I wanted to share something. We're going to have Father Kirby on. He's going to be reflecting about Easter. But I was reading a meditation. Guys, I think you'll enjoy this. This was from Pope Francis. It was in the Holy Week issue of the magazine, The Magnificat. And he talks about the hope of Easter. Mm-hmm. Now, there is certainly, and we're going to touch on this with Father Kirby, there's a lot of significance to the fact that Easter is celebrated for 50 days. It's a very long period of time. That's because it's a very special time. And here's what Pope Francis said. He said, Christ wants to come and take us by the hand to bring us out of our anguish. This is the first stone to be moved aside today. The lack of hope which imprisons us within ourselves. May the Lord free us from this trap, from being Christians without hope, who live as if the Lord were not risen, as if our problems were the center of our lives. I think that's a very powerful message. What is the center of our lives? Is it our problems or is it Jesus Christ? Right? And this is something to reflect on. Pope Francis said, today it's important to shed the light of the risen Lord upon our problems and in a certain sense to evangelize them, to evangelize our problems. How's that? Let us not allow darkness and fear to distract us and control us. We must cry out to them. The Lord is not here, but has risen. He is our greatest joy. He is always at our side and will never let us down. Isn't that an interesting thought to evangelize our problems?
Exactly.
To tell our problems, hey, the Lord is risen.
Yeah, really, yeah.
You're not that important.
Yeah, exactly. You know, get away, you know, disappear, you know, because the Lord is the be-all, end-all.
Yeah.
And if we submit to him, he'll take care of it.
And it's
it doesn't
so
mean
easy.
We won't have pain.
Well, exactly, exactly. It's so easy to just slip back into the business-as-usual mode and say, okay, the Lord is risen, but I've got to go to work today. I've got financial issues. I have illness problems. I mean, we're going to have problems. We're going to have troubles in life.
Yeah, I mean, we go forward, and we're just on a journey, as we all know. And until our individual journeys come to an end, I mean, we have to go forward. But what better way to do it than with the Lord?
Yeah. And that's the hope. That's the message of Easter. And that's one that we definitely want to remember. Why don't we do the gospel now while we have a few minutes? Mm-hmm. Today's gospel comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 through 15. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce the news to the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. The chief priests assembled with the elders and took counsel. Then they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep. And if this gets to the ears of the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has circulated among the Jews to the present day. Isn't that amazing, Dave?
Yes, it is.
Trying to deny the resurrection.
Yeah, really. It's a cover-up. Maybe it's one of the original classical cover-ups.
Isn't that just incredible? And as we went through Lent, we saw numerous stories of people who were against Jesus, who didn't want to believe in him, and who did everything in their power to suppress his message, to discredit him.
Absolutely.
To deny the miracles that he was performing.
Exactly. Yeah, they just kind of, they sloughed it off. And they said, no, it wasn't due to his God-man nature. He maybe he was a shaman or something, you know? And they just didn't believe it. They always found excuses.
Right.
Why not to believe.
Right. And we can do the same thing today. I mean,
absolutely.
We can look at events that happen in our life, positive things that happen, and say, "Oh, that was lucky! What a lucky break that was!" You know, this.
Oh, absolutely.
Right,
and
not acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ can perform miracles still to this day.
Exactly. I mean, as you said, and as we have said over time, you know, he performed miracles, and they may have believed in their hearts, but then because of the pressure put upon them, they had to deny them. I mean, they weren't quite sure. They said, they didn't know how to deal with them.
Yes, and that's something important. We want to keep that in mind. We want to not fall into that trap, and
absolutely.
We want to give the Lord some credit, and we really want to celebrate the resurrection.
And we want to give him all the credit. But
right.
Yeah, And that's where we're all headed in our journey. You know, put away doubt, take the leap, step out of the boat, so to speak, you know?
That's right. That's right. And with that in mind, let's bring on our first guest. Father Jeffrey Kirby is with us today to talk about the power of the resurrection. He was with us on Thursday to talk about the Easter Triduum, and we're having him back today with us to talk about the importance, the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. Father Kirby, good morning. Happy Easter.
Good morning, Gary. He is risen. Hallelujah.
He is truly risen. Yes, indeed. Father, I want to talk about, and I'm so glad you could come back with us today on the program. I think there's this temptation for a lot of us to put aside the celebration of Easter. Today, we're back into the swing of things. Lent is over. You know, okay, we can eat candy. We can indulge in whatever we gave up. There's a temptation to completely ignore the significance of what happened on Easter Sunday, isn't there?
There is. And oftentimes, you know, even the church gives us these customs and traditions to help us.
Right.
And so, for example, we know that right now we're in an octave, so it's an eight-day celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And what the church is saying by this is saying that the event we're commemorating is so powerful that one chronological day cannot contain it.
Yeah.
It takes us 8 days in order to celebrate the resurrection. So, you know, we traditionally call today Easter Monday, tomorrow mm-hmm. Easter Tuesday, Easter Wednesday, and so on, because we recall it. For 8 days, we need this time in order to appreciate, celebrate, allow it to become a part of us, to rejoice what is happening. And so, yeah, someone just celebrated yesterday.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, it's back to the grind. We're moving on. Okay, mm-hmm. The hustle and bustle. And so on. So, you know, for a believer, you want to say, wait.
Right.
There is too much garbage and darkness in this world to allow such a celebration of light and joy to just be, you know, just to be passed over, just to be moved on. It's like, no, today's Easter Monday. Like, continue to celebrate this day.
You know what really touched me, Father, on Holy Thursday when I was at church on Holy Thursday, and our Lord was moved from the tabernacle, and he was moved to a side altar, to a special tabernacle set up on the side altar of the church. What was happening was I was praying after Mass, and I was focused on the empty tabernacle in the center of the church, because that's what I usually do when I'm talking to Jesus. And I'm noticing that he's not there. And then I would remember, oh, wait a minute, I have to turn my head, and there he is. He's still with us. And I think that's the same problem that we saw Mary Magdalene had. If we look at John's Gospel, chapter 20 of John's Gospel, she's weeping at the tomb. She's wondering where the body went. And if we look in Luke chapter 24, we see the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're sad. They're not realizing the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. Don't you think that sometimes we just lose sight of the fact that the risen Lord is with us and he's bigger than any of our problems?
Absolutely. I think that I think that the evangelists included that in their Gospels, obviously recording historical events, but giving us those details in order to help teach us, like, hey, they take care of my Lord, I don't know where he is. Well,
right.
I'm him.
right.
The disciples to the Lord, you know, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what happened?
I love that.
And I love the Lord's response. He goes, what kind of things? You know, so he's going to kind of just play along and always the patient teacher. But definitely, Gary, I think that the Lord is with us. I think what's a powerful teacher is that during the Easter season, the church suspends the reading of the Old Testament at Mass. Mm. And instead, the first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles.
Right.
Because the church is teaching us, like, look, even in the early church, the Lord's presence, what the Lord did among the Christian believers within the community. And the church is trying to teach us that the Lord's still doing this.
Right.
The Lord still wants to bring healing and consolation and encouragement. And the Lord is still doing the miracles and the signs today that he did 2,000 years ago. I think it's significant that the early Christian communities always spoke of the Lord in the present tense.
Interesting.
In fact, In fact, in the first persecution of Christians in the 60s AD, the Roman authorities looked for Jesus because they thought he was alive in Rome because the Christians spoke about him in the present tense.
Wow.
They thought he was there in Rome, living there in the 60s AD. So very significant that the Lord is with us. And really, we have to understand that and embrace that truth if we're going to really live this way of life. Like, Gary, too many Christians white-knuckle this. They white-knuckle their discipleship. They make it far harder than the Lord would ever ask us in a way to follow him. Because the Lord wants to be with us, to help us.
So what do we do, Father? I mean, that is a real challenge. It's a challenge that I face every day. I've got problems. I have concerns. How do I keep that in mind? How do I keep his presence in mind? What steps can I take to recall that he is with me and that he still can perform miracles in my life today?
I think first and foremost, it's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pray, and we're all busy. We all have a lot of things going on, but, you know, maybe let's just block out a few minutes. You know, it can also be, I say, like, intentional prayer, strategic prayer. Like,
right.
If we know there's going to be something hard, a coworker that we struggle with, or marital problems, mm-hmm. or, you know, difficulties with a family member, or situation in life, whether it's at work or in a neighborhood, or whatever it might be, to say, I'm going to especially place that before you. And, Lord, let me see your resurrection in that situation. You know, like, I know you're there. I know your grace is working. So I think first and foremost, it's prayer, you know, and then by extension, it's reading the scriptures, it's engaging the living word of God. You know, Lord, I know you're here, speak mm-hmm. to me, give me your message, what you want to say to me right now.
And I think for many Catholics, they struggle with the idea of reading the Bible. I mean, I think it's getting better because a lot of parishes are doing Bible studies. And there are a lot of resources for people who might not be familiar with the Bible. But would you recommend that, you mentioned the Acts of the Apostles during the Easter season. I've always found that reading the Acts of the Apostles or looking at the daily Mass readings, especially during the Easter season, gives us a really good insight into what was happening in the early church and gives us a great model to follow.
Absolutely. I strongly recommend the Acts of the Apostles. And if someone doesn't know the life of the Lord, well, you know, we know that Luke wrote Acts of the Apostles, so read his gospel too.
Right, right.
You know, if you don't know the Lord and the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart to know him better, well, read Luke. Of course, you know, early on, Luke and Acts of the Apostles were one volume. And so I recommend both. And what I really like about the Acts of the Apostles is that, you know, we see it. You know, we see exactly, you know, almost like the veil's lifted and we can see how God sees this. And in fact, sometimes in parish life or working in the church, I'll try to purposely use biblical language just to illustrate something. So it's not, oh, the bishop's coming for confirmation. It's our apostle is visiting our community of disciples in order to send down the Holy Spirit upon our young people. This is an occasion of tremendous joy because our apostle, our witness of the resurrection, is coming to us in order to proclaim good news. You know, and just put it in that biblical language of the Acts of the Apostles. Like, you know, help us to see, like, what the Lord did, what the Christian community celebrated 2,000 years ago, is still happening.
Yeah.
And we just have to pick on the language in order to express what we're experiencing, what we're a part of.
And I think that it's too easy to slip into that familiarity and that routine nature of going. We have to go to Mass every Sunday. We have to check the box. This is what we do. And we lose sight of the fact what's really happening and what we have and the fact that the Lord is still very present and wants to work in our lives.
Yeah, this is Dave. I wanted to say it's not one and done. You know, a lot of times we do an event and it's one and done and move on. So
yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine just as we approach Mass, it's not, I got to go to Mass this Sunday. And we put it back in the biblical language that on the day of resurrection, on Sunday, I get to join fellow believers in order to participate in the living sacrifice of the new covenant. Yeah, I mean, just let's express biblically the power and the beauty of what we're doing. Because otherwise, yeah, we do. We take on a different language, a casual language. It's like you're saying, Dave, well, one and done. You know, we just, right. Okay, I did that, we move on. But let's just enjoy this beauty for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Father, you mentioned the Gospel of Luke. You also talked about the Acts of the Apostles, which was written by St. Luke. You have a rather large part in a Bible study about the Gospel of Luke. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just really enjoyed being a part of this Luke, the Gospel of Mercy. And it's 18 lessons. We get to have a lot of fun explaining the truth that Luke recounts of our Lord's teachings. And it was a great program. It was by St. Benedict's Press. I just enjoyed being a part of that. And anything nowadays that's going to help bring the living word to believers, I'm all for. You know, as you were saying earlier, Gary, it is getting better. Catholics are beginning, to appreciate. I always joke with my parish. I said, look, you got to read the Bible. We wrote half of it. Come on.
That's true.
That is so true.
That's true. Father, if somebody wanted to find out more about that Bible study on Luke, is there a particular place to go online?
Yes, actually just the publisher, so stbenedictpress.com. The publisher will have all the information for them.
Excellent. I'd like to have you on again so we could talk more about that, because I think Luke's gospel is particularly fascinating. There are some details in Luke that are not in the other gospels. And I think I'd love to explore that in a little more depth. Father, I really want to thank you for coming on, because this was so important that we remember that this, you mentioned the octave of Easter, but also the Easter season lasts for 50 days, correct?
That is, exactly.
Oh, that's a long time.
It is, exactly. And the Lord wants to do a lot of work, and the Holy Spirit is just pouring down grace upon the church during these 50 days. And of course, it culminates with Pentecost, which, it's just such a powerful feast day that oftentimes is misunderstood or unappreciated. So we're in for a great 50 days. And Gary, I also want to just mention that we are in day 4 of the Divine Mercy Novena.
Ah, yes.
They're just, for people who are missing it, it's like, there's some really good stuff going on here. People say, oh, the church is boring, or the church has no relevancy, or how's this going to help me in my life? It's like, come on, man, wake up.
Exactly. We do need to wake up because we have so much. I think we have so much that sometimes we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. Because our faith is so deep. Father, before I let you go, could I ask you to give us a blessing?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon your servants. Help us as we seek to understand the glory of your resurrection. May you fill us with the joy and the sense of mission that you desire of your church. And we ask this through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much, Father Jeff Kirby, for joining us on the program today. Father, the place to follow you online is at Father Kirby, frkirby.com?
That's correct, yep.
Excellent. Thank you so much again, Father Kirby.
Thanks, Gary.
All right. God bless you. Oh, man, that was good. That's a great reminder us all, Dave, right?
Exactly.
We take things for granted.
Yeah, I think that was a masterstroke of having Father Kirby on after Easter to, in a way, unpack it, but tie it up.
He's such a good guy. He wanted to do it, though. He wanted to come on twice,
absolutely.
And I said,
yeah,
absolutely. That was a great reminder for us, because so many times we do downplay the presence of our Lord in our lives today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scripture says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but we forget that sometimes.
Exactly. And well, he made it so down to earth, but yet... And it was fun the way he was, I love his sense of humor, very subtle sometimes, but it's like, come on, people, get on board. I mean, there's so much richness going on in the Catholic Church right now. You know, become aware of what's going on in your parish and join in. Let's not be one and done Catholics.
No, that's right. Plenty of Easter celebrating to do. And as we discussed, we have 50 days throughout the Easter season. It does last for a long time. Let's do a quick look at the weather forecast. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 65 degrees. Today, showers likely mainly between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., then cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny, high near 74. Tonight, mostly clear, with a low near 49. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 66. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, low around 46. And then Wednesday, a chance of showers, mainly afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 62. So that's a look at your forecast here on Spirit in the Morning. Yeah, yeah. How about that sunrise this morning,
Dave? It was beautiful. Yes, it was very calm up here. And as the sun rose and in the east, I was coming in. And wow, how beautiful. How apt after Easter.
Just reminded me,
like an Easter sunrise.
Yeah, perfect. A lot different than when we used to come here in the winter and it was pitch dark. I couldn't even find the studio. We're going to take a break in a few seconds. And when we come back, Chris Stepien will join us to talk about his book, Dying to be Happy. Stay tuned.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. After seeing the destruction wrought by Hurricane Sandy on TV, 5-year-old Iowa native Connor Andres told his mother, "Mom, they need our help." That's when Terry Andres contacted Shelley Tagles, the director of his preschool, Our Lady's Little Learners. Together, they started the Little Hands, Big Hearts Foundation, which collected money from the preschool. Their efforts amounted to a check totaling over $4,000, which was sent to hard-hit Resurrection School and Parish in Jersey City. Sister Eleanor Yule, principal of Resurrection School, told the Catholic Advocate that her students are still talking about what took place in Iowa. She said it touched their hearts. It made those who took part realize how blessed they are. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
How sweet to hold. And the joy that he gives, oh, but greater still, the calm assurance we can face uncertain days because he I know.
How's that for inspiration? That was Because He Lives, the Gaither Vocal Band. I'm Gary Zimak. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Chris Stepien is a regular guest on this program. His book, Dying to Be Happy, is one of the most inspirational books that I have ever read. This book completely touched my life when I read it, and that's why I asked Chris to come on the program for the first time. And once he came on once, we had to bring him back again. He is with us today. Good morning, Chris. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Gary. He is risen indeed.
Right? I mean, why are we upset, Chris? Why do we let things get to us?
Because we lie to ourselves. I think we forget and we delude ourselves and we get wrapped up in the temptations of the world.
Yep.
You know, and we can't see our way through the fog. And if we look toward the light, things become clear. Whenever we get down, really down, when we're at the end of our rope, when it's health, an issue that's serious, when there's a serious financial issue or a job loss, someone's dying in our family, you know, we drop to our knees. And I think if we could maintain that, we drop to our knees every day and say thank you, then I think we don't get so down and we don't get so worried because we realize that the Lord is kind and merciful, and He died for us, and He rose, and He opened the gates of heaven for us. And you know, if we concentrate on that world, His world, then the whole world looks better.
It does, and this is going to be interesting, Chris, because the topic that we're going to talk about today really it relates to what we need to do in this world, but the impact of it goes far beyond just this world, right? We've got to keep our eye on the fact that we were created to live with the Lord in heaven, but that doesn't mean we can just sit back in our easy chair and put our feet up and just wait, and one day we're going to automatically get there. We have to do something in this life, don't we?
For sure. Christianity is not a spectator sport.
Yep.
It is not simply about going to Mass, dropping your envelope in the basket, and then going on your merry way. I mean, Jesus gave us a specific, almost a legal document. I call it the sheep and the goats clause in Matthew 25, where it is one of several times that Jesus talks about the afterlife and the resurrection and Judgment Day. And He specifically tells us that at the end, He is going to come and He is going to separate the people, those intended for heaven and those not, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the specific call, if I had to sum it up in a word, is mercy. Did you feed me? Did you quench my thirst? Did you clothe me? Did you visit me in prison? Did you visit me when I was sick? Did you welcome the stranger? He was very specific. And the amazing thing, Gary, and I know you know this, it's very repetitive language. The reason I call it a clause, it almost reads like a legal document. You know, if you have a mortgage or a loan or any kind of, even when you accept software, there's all this redundant language to make sure that you're getting the point. And I think if we overlook Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46, we're overlooking our lease to heaven, to our heavenly mansion. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, some translations, many mansions, right? So this is our lease, and this is the agreement. And if we break the agreement, I guess we get evicted.
Wow. Well, and in your book, you talk extensively about this. You devote a whole chapter to this idea of the sheep's and the goat's clause. And one thing, Chris, I just love that story because it's such a powerful story. But if we look before that in Matthew 25, Jesus tells two parables that really set the stage. He talks about the parable of the wise and the foolish maidens. And when he's telling that parable, he states, "Watch because you know neither the day nor the hour." In other words, get ready. He gets that sense of urgency. He tries to get us to have a sense of urgency. And then he goes into the parable of the talents. And he says, you all have gifts, and you're all expected to use them. And that really leads in nicely to this story of the sheep and the goats. Because, Chris, the bottom line is, we're going to make it to heaven based upon how we treated other people, correct?
Well, sure, because Jesus knows we're all sinners.
Right.
He knows that we all are sinners. He In fact, in the chapter, chapter 3, Sheep and the Goat's Claws, I quote St. Gregory of Nazianzus, who's a father of the church.
Right.
And he says, you know, you're not going to hell because you stole, because you fornicated or violated any other taboo. And I'm quoting him. He's a saint, a doctor of the church. And he says, because we did not serve Christ through the poor. And Jesus also in Matthew says when he's getting a hassle about hanging out with Matthew and his tax collector pals, he says, go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice.
Yeah.
I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He's calling us, we're all sinners, and he's saying, what I want from you is mercy. You know, to thank me for my great salvation by passing that on to others, especially those that perhaps it's the hardest for us to do, right?
Oh, you know, yeah.
Pray for our enemies, he said.
Right.
Yeah. So somebody who, instead of judging that homeless guy, be merciful to him. And there are many ways to do that. But it might just be someone in your family who you have a rub with. It might be your boss. It might be a teacher. Be merciful. And there are many ways to do that. In fact, in Scripture, it often describes God, the Lord is kind and merciful, or loving kindness. It's loving kindness. It's not just kindness, kindness with love.
Chris, let's talk about this a little bit more in your book, because I think you're onto something here. In your book, you quote St. Teresa of Calcutta talking about how we treat the poor, and she states that we shouldn't treat the poor like they're a garbage bag in which we throw everything we have no use for. And you highlight that with a line that just really blew me away. You said, if Jesus were begging in front of you, what would you put in his bag? Mm. Man, that's powerful.
That is powerful.
Well, you know, St. Teresa, she refers to the garbage bag. It's ironic. You know, I'm a St. Vincent de Paul member. Most of us, we actually even offer logo imprinted black garbage bags for people to
wow.
put their goods in.
Wow.
And it, you know, we're guilty of it. So the point is, when you're putting those gifts in that bag for your donation, are you getting rid of your useless stuff?
Yeah.
Or are you saying, you know, this is a pretty nice shirt or blouse or whatever, and I wore it a few times. You know, sometimes we see things that have price tags on them.
Mm-hmm.
They may be gifts that people didn't want. But how am I putting that in there? Am I thinking about the people I'm going to help?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just cleaning out my closet? There's the difference. It's not the sacrifice. And this is true through the Old Testament. He says, you know, I don't want the fat of your sheep and your bulls. I want mercy. I want, you know, this is the theme that goes throughout the Bible. Take care of the widows. Take care of the orphans. I want your mercy. And Mother Teresa says, you know, when the end of time comes, when we die and we're going to be judged, we're going to be judged not by our number of good deeds, not the number,
mm-hmm.
not by the degrees and accomplishments, but by the love we have put into our work. I mean, think about it.
Wow.
If God is love,
mm-hmm.
then love itself is going to judge our compassion.
And we could all, I think, at times fall victim to this idea of, well, I'm a really good person because I give to the poor. I write this check out to my church every week. But there's no love there always, you know, and we want to do it for the right reason. And if we're giving, and Pope Francis made this point too, if we're giving to that beggar on the street corner, we don't want to throw money at them. We want to look them in the eye, he said. And that's when it becomes a little more challenging.
Yeah, to know their name, to ask them about their life,
wow.
to visit them and tell them about your life, to ask them to pray for you and find out what they need to be prayed for. I mean, would you, if the homeless guy had lost his ID, would you find the time to come back and say, okay, I'll meet you on Saturday and I'll drive you to the police station so we can get your ID back?
Wow.
Would you do that?
Mm.
It's not impossible. There are many people do these kind of things. And it's not about talking about it either, because remember Jesus said, you know, when giving to the needy or the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Right.
It's between us and God. That's who it's between. And it's about, Jesus, I love you. I'm doing this for you. Do I do it with love? Even that's the way sometimes if I get into a tough situation and I struggle with it, you know, my ego, whatever, if I want to be good to someone and it's hard, I say, okay, I'm going to do this for Jesus. And then pretty soon, you're over it. And you're like, no, I'm a wretch. Why? Who am I to judge that other person? I've done stuff like that.
Right. And that happens to us, though, sometimes. We forget because we all have those people that we encounter that we would rather not reach out to, that we would rather not be nice to because they annoy us or we don't like them. And if we keep Jesus in mind, I mean, that's how we love him, through other people.
Without a doubt. In fact, what did he say from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mm. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, to have that's the love that we have to try to aspire to, you know, to be able to be crucified and be forgiving during the crucifixion.
Mm. Chris, whenever we have you on this program, and I told you this at the very first time I had you on, you make me uncomfortable. I mean, I love having you on, but you make me uncomfortable. The book made me uncomfortable, but that's why I have you on the show, because I think we need to be made uncomfortable sometimes because we can get a little too complacent. So I thank you for that. I thank you for shaking us up.
Yeah, he's twitching right now. He's like, whoa.
You know? Well, you know, they say they quaked at the grave when the stone rolled back, right?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
It's Jesus who's making us uncomfortable.
Right.
I like to quote scripture because I feel grounded in what I'm saying. I don't have the ability to say these things.
Right.
But it's the word of God, and every time I read it, I always, always find something new and fresh, and I feel like it's speaking directly to me, like, Chris, you need to wake up.
Yep.
You need to wake up because you don't know if you have tomorrow. You
That's
need
exactly.
to go out and use those talents. And sometimes we can be torn between a lot of very important, valuable priorities.
Yep.
But if we just say, okay, Lord, where do I go first?
Yep, that's what we need to do. Chris Steppe in the book is Dying to Be Happy. Chris, I want to thank you for coming on again. Can't wait for your next appearance so you can challenge us some more. We will have a link to where you can purchase this book on spiritinthemorning.com. Thank you again, Chris. Happy Easter, brother.
Thank you so much, Gary and Dave. God bless you.
Happy Easter.
God bless you. Wow. Chris Steppe, and he always blows me away every time he comes on the show. When we come back, we're going to go to our Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 17th. Today we celebrate Saint Benedict Joseph Labray. Born in 1748, Benedict Joseph Labray decided at an early age that he would live an austere life as a member of a religious community. After several communities rejected him, he decided to become a permanent pilgrim. He traveled on foot from church to church and shrine to shrine throughout Western Europe. Dressed in simple clothes, he begged for food and found overnight lodging in hostels and in people's homes. In his mid-20s, Benedict made his way to Rome. For a time, he lived and slept among the ruins in the Colosseum and spent his days visiting churches in the Eternal City, spending time before the Blessed Sacrament. He became known as the Poor Man of the 40 Hours Devotion and the Beggar of Rome. Illness finally forced Benedict to put a halt to his pilgrimages. During Holy Week of 1783, it was clear that he was near death. He died of malnutrition at age 35, on the day before Holy Thursday. Benedict Joseph Labray was canonized in 1881 and named patron saint of the homeless. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Scheme of failure.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and that was Christ is Risen by Matt Maher. Obviously, there's a theme going on today. The theme is Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Don't let your problems get the best of you. Let's take a look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse for today. It comes from Matthew 28:6. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. Why is it that so many people missed the fact that Jesus said he would rise from the dead? Why is it that Mary Magdalene was assuming that the body of Jesus had been taken from the tomb? Why was she weeping there? Why were the disciples on the road to Emmaus being sad? Because they just missed what Jesus said, exactly, that he was going to rise from the dead.
Yeah, even back in those days, most people went about their daily lives, I believe, that, well, they never saw that stuff. And then Here comes this guy named Jesus, and he just says, well, you know, what you just said, Gary, like, I will rise again, and they're, yeah, okay, sure.
But it's also the human factor. It's right. the fact that, you know, we just lost a friend. He's not with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that human factor that we do all the time, whether it's, you know, losing someone close to us, mm-hmm, you know, not necessarily having the faith, mm-hmm, that we will see them again.
Ah, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, so I think that there's a lot to it, and I don't think it's easy to sit there and say,
beautifully
oh,
said,
how
Frank,
do you,
yes,
you didn't pay attention. Well, at that moment, you're sitting there going, Jesus was such an important part of my life. He's no longer with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's how they were feeling. I think there is a human factor to that
very
we all
point
do every day.
Yeah, they were in mourning, maybe.
Yes, exactly.
And, yeah. So what he said did not resonate, did not really hit home, because and they were filtering that through their grief.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to ignore the fact that he can do all things, you know, because I think so many times we do focus on our problems primarily, and we lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ can perform miracles every day, and he wants to do these miracles in our lives. So that's what we try to do here in the morning. We try to bring you and Jesus closer together. We do it every day on Spirit in the Morning. By the way, you can follow us online at spiritinthemorning.com. Tomorrow, we're going to have some special guests. We have in the studio Bob White from the St. Gianna Society. I think you
very,
know Bob.
Right? Yes, I've met Bob in the past, and very special to the St. Gianna Society. Is extraordinarily special to my family. My daughter who passed away, name was Gianna, and not only that, I don't think we would have experienced her in her life wasn't for Gianna. And so that was before she became a saint. And we really got to know a lot about that group. And it's become very special in our hearts. So very much looking forward to him joining us tomorrow.
He's going to be joining us as well as by phone. Sean Tivenin will be here. We'll be checking in with him by phone. He is starring in the new production on the life of St. Francis. Mm-hmm. This comes from our friends at St. Luke Productions. Mm-hmm. They did the Faustina play. Mm-hmm. They have one on St. Francis, which is going to be in the area. So Sean's going to be checking in with us.
And if, for those that saw the Faustina, just an absolutely fabulous production.
Absolutely.
And so I would expect very similar from St. Francis. And
quality productions.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so Sean will be here to talk to us about that. Let's close in prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who give constant increase to your church by new offspring, grant that your servants may hold fast in their lives to the sacrament they have received in faith. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dave and Frank, it was great hanging out with you on this Easter Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say, Gary, I mean, where do we go from here? What do you recommend to our listeners? I mean, after Easter, our whole show was about that, but we have to apply it every day. Don't think about tomorrow, think about today. That's what I take. Live it today.
Right, that's right. And as Father Kirby said, get to know the Bible, read the daily Mass readings, and listen to us because we read the gospel here each day. Mm-hmm. Get to know Jesus Christ on a personal level. That's what we try to help you with. And the more you do that, the more unimportant the problems and the difficulties of life will become.
Absolutely.
Keep the focus on the Lord.
I say, how about you, Frank? I mean, how do you see applying this Easter message?
Well, I think it's first of all, Easter should be every single day of the year. It's not just that this one thing. It's the fact is the Lord has risen for us. He has done much. Have that faith. Develop that faith. Uh-huh. That, I think, is the key, and I think sometimes missing in our lives. Mm-hmm.
It is. Well, we're just about to take a break for the day.
See you tomorrow, folks. Yeah. Here we go.
There goes our music. Remember,
God bless everyone.
As I always tell you, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. Hallelujah. He is risen. God bless you. Talk to you next time.